I refuse to believe that the universe or my brother had anything to do with this. But I think he would have really liked that you two found each other. Okay, I'm gonna leave before I throw up. It's not too late.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm so happy that Mary finally got the intro right. After all of the drama during our last Kingdom podcast, and you know, I'm gonna say it, botching the last intro for This Is Us, we got a good. We broke the streak. We broke the circle, Mary.
Listen, man, it's called improv. Get with it. Get with it.
If you're a fan of our Harry Potter podcasts, you know. Hold on, that Mary is
you're a wizard, Harry.
That she is incredible at her improv with her different perspective on the Potterverse. So make sure you check that out. There's many Mary and Blake Media Hall of Fame moments that come from the different perspective segment. It is a very close second segment, nearing in or out. Very close. Very, yes. Very close.
Yes, very much so. So one of our favorite things, of course, with This Is Us 2 is to be able to relate to one of the characters. I mean, heck, that's how the entire name of this podcast was built, is This Is Us 2. Things like that happened to us too. And, you know, as I sat here watching this episode, I had three different things pop up.
What? Whoa, really?
Three different things where I was like, I know what that's like. I know what that's like. I know what that's like too. So, Blake,
yeah,
you get to pick. I'm going to tell three stories, one of which I'm not going to share. I'm not going to share.
Wait, you're not going to share with them, or you're not going to share with me? What are you talking about?
I mean, nobody, really. Okay, so one of the stories is the time that I said, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready to you know, lose the big V. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ready to, like, you know, get this party started. And I had that moment like deja where I was like, I vocally said, all right, it is time. I was like Rafiki.
Wow.
It was I'll just give this, because I know that sometimes my like stepmom and my dad might listen to this podcast. So that's why I'm not going to talk about it. Plus it wasn't with you, so it probably makes you feel awkward. But
little bit. I'm already awkward right now. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just going to say, like, I was not sexually active in high school. And a lot of it was because one of my parents thought I was and was constantly like, yes, you are. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And finally, you know, after high school, I just was like, all right. I'm ready. And I felt that moment like deja, and it was just very empowering. So that's not the story I'm sharing.
You walked up and got Simba and put the thing on his head. And
yes, it is time.
It is time.
No. So the two stories that I have is escaping to Boston without my parents knowing.
That's a good one.
And the other story that I have is telling my younger crush that I crushed on him many years later.
Is this the red shoes guy?
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Okay,
give me the Boston one.
Okay,
okay, I'll take the Boston.
Okay,
one.
Your cousin from Boston.
There you go. Go.
All right. So, I mean, it wasn't as exciting as Deja going all the way from Philly to Boston on a bus. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was a senior in high school, and I'd never skipped school. I never skipped school, except the one time that I was supposed to go in my marine biology class, and that got canceled because of a storm, and I went to McDonald's. But I was already excused from class, so it's fine. But this one day I did skip school, and I went with my boyfriend at the time, and we went to Boston.
Ooh.
And I called in the school, and I pretended to be my mom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Mary's sick. She's going to be out, but she'll make up all of her assignments. And we went to Boston. And we went to Boston to go look at colleges. I skipped school, lied to my parents to go look at colleges.
What? Nerd!
But let me tell you, going to VU colleges with your boyfriend or with your friends without your parents in tow, much better experience.
Yes!
Much better experience.
Shame.
Yeah.
Oh, you are such a dork.
I was supposed to go to school in Boston, friends. I was supposed to be there. I had a full, like, giant scholarship to be going to Northeastern and the New England Conservatory.
Just imagine, Mary. Hey, you want to skip school to go look at colleges?
Yeah, that's what we did. I did not skip school and lie to my parents to go give my V card away. No. I went to go to our dorms and learn about the lunch options. True story. True story. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm Randall, friends, in case you needed any more proof.
You guys have a study abroad program.
Oh, my God. The only time I skipped school was to friggin' go look at colleges. I look at it back in hindsight, and I'm like, what?
You nerd. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yep. Oh, my goodness gracious.
There you go. But yes, I snuck away to Boston once.
Oh, man, that just like...
That just woke you up.
That I got such a bad dork chill from you that it sent shivers up my spine.
Love it. Blake and I repeatedly say how lucky we are.
Yes.
That we met when we did, as we would not have been friends in real life. If we met in high school, if we met in college, he would not have been my boyfriend to be like, hey, Mary, let's go to Boston and look at colleges together.
No. That's right, Michael.
No.
Oh, so remember, friends, if we are bringing you some laughter during these crazy times, if we're bringing you some Lumos in a time of knocks from my Pada friends,
you're a wizard, Harry.
You can find us on all sorts of social media outlets. Just search Mary and Blake. Of course, you can see all the other podcasts we're doing. Blake and I are very busy. This year. Very busy.
Very, very busy.
Okay.
So just
make sure that you're watching the socials.
Send us all the coffee, please.
And if you actually would like to send us coffee, you can actually help us out by going to jointhenerdclan.com, where as little as $2 a month, that's less than a cup of coffee, you can actually be making a huge difference for Blake and I, helping us run this amazing media company to keep these free podcasts going. This is pretty much like PBS for podcasts, listener supported.
Where else are you going to hear a story about Mary's dork chills?
Right? Rather than having, like, what are those Viking River Cruise commercials?
Yeah.
This is what you get, okay? That's right. All my Downton Abbey friends, you know what I'm talking about. Laura Linney knows.
I'm Laura Linney.
Yes. All right.
Welcome to Mary's dork chills.
As I sit here drinking my butterbeer tea.
In my Harry Potter mug. Hold on, Mary.
I gave up White Claws and now I'm on to butterbeer tea.
Show the world your Hogwarts cup.
Let's get this party started, y'all. Let's get into the show.
Goodness gracious, let's do it. Well, if you guys have all recovered from your dork chills from Mary, this episode 602, was entitled One Giant Leap, which is, of course, a reference to Neil Armstrong's famous words when he, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, which is a reference to the sharing of the admiration of the moon between your girl Sally and your boy Nikki.
Neither of them are my peeps.
Well, whatevs. But it is also a giant leap from Deja. It is a giant leap from Nikki to just show up at this chick's house 50 years later, unannounced. It's a giant leap for everybody and what they're doing right now. That is that. The director was, oh my goodness, Mary.
Mm.
Oh my goodness.
I'm feeling it.
Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling the Whitney.
I got to find Whitney first.
That's taking forever.
It is taking forever. And this is hurtful because Whitney deserves better than this.
The director is Blake's favorite director of this entire show.
Hold on. It's my girl Kay.
I will always
Kay O'Hagan is the director for this episode, and is she has directed two episodes prior to this of This Is Us, the episode Brotherly Love last year, and also the famous episode Birth Mother from last season as well. And the writer was Kevin Falls, who has written episodes such as Changes, Clouds, The Club, Songbird Road Part 1, and Six Thanksgivings. Marvin, yes. Your lemonade rating.
What I just noticed this is a picture of Rebecca next to Fondue Plots. I love fondue. Fondue's I had no great. Idea. My rating is a 4.8, which is much higher than I thought I was going to give it last
night. This is a high rating for you.
This is. And you want to know what did it for me?
What?
The second viewing.
Really?
I'm telling you guys, if there's an episode of This Is Us that you're like, I don't know if I liked this, watch it a second time. Something happens where you hear all these little extra things. Mm-hmm. You feel all these extra little things. And all of a sudden, you're like, never mind. I do love this.
Like, that's fair.
Like, what's something that you don't think you're going to like, but then you get into it? Sex.
No, I feel like I've always been a fan of sex.
I got to tell you, sometimes your first time isn't what Deja said.
Well, I mean, I would agree with that.
See? But it gets better.
I was going to say The Big Lebowski, but we are way apart on this one, Marvin.
Listen, okay. So I gave it a 4.8.
All right, good. My rating, Mary, per usual, is lower than yours.
No.
But I'm going to say it's a 4.
See, because you only watched it once.
I did watch it once.
Yeah.
I think a repeat viewing would probably warrant a higher rating, a higher lemonade count from me.
I'm telling you, it would.
But I'm giving my girl Kay the benefit of the doubt here, so I'm giving her a 4. I'm not going to the 3 level.
He's also tired and crabby, Kay. I'm just telling you, he slept on the couch. Not my fault.
No. This was not a choice that Mary or I made. It was one because my son needed to sleep in bed with my gorgeous wife because he wasn't feeling well, and he was kicking me the previous time. So I'm
starting to see a correlation sometimes between your ratings and how well you slept.
You know what? I have not noticed that correlation. But I'm not going to say you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. I almost think you need to rewatch this episode this week and see if your opinion changes and let us know next week on next week's episode.
Fair enough. I will do that. Okay. So I'm giving my girl Kay the benefit of the doubt here. I'm not going 3. We're not going to go that level.
It's like a swear.
But we're going to stick to the 4s. We're sticking to the 4 level. But that's where I'm at right now. Your GBG though, Marvin. What do you got for your good, your bad, and your great?
Okay, so let's just break it on down. That dinner was awkward AF. Holy smokes. But you know what?
What's that?
Second viewing. Uh-huh. You first sit there and Miguel, I'm telling you, second viewing.
Miguel holds
you need to listen to every single beautiful little word that comes out of that man's mouth, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether he is standing outside the door like, oh, yep, she's coming. Okay, we're doing this.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
I'm telling you, Miguel just is the king of this is really weird, and yet I'm just going to keep chiming in and doing what I can. But I loved that awkward dinner. Because as much as I wanted to look away, it made me squirm. It made me very uncomfortable when I watched it. But it made me feel. And when shows make you feel that much where you're like squirming in your seat and you're like, this is, oh my gosh, he just said he was deflowered. Oh my gosh, she's married. Like all of those moments that you curled up, you could feel yourself just turning in. That right there is a beautiful show.
That is a Mary and Blake commandment.
Right? What made you feel
something. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it makes you feel. That mm-hmm. is one of the original Mary and Blake commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So that made that happen for you.
That happened, yeah. Yes. So my bad isn't a bad about actually the show. It's just something bad about how something made me feel.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
Okay. So I got to tell you people, I'm living in this current COVID world and it's weird to be in a show that acknowledged COVID, that did COVID stuff, and then doesn't do COVID stuff. I'm happy they don't do COVID stuff. Okay. I'm happy that Deja was able to ride a bus without a mask and talk to that lady who knew that Deja was about to get laid for the first time. Cause she knew. She was like, something happens, young love, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I don't know if this is happening to anybody else, and I just need to like get this off my chest. And as I said, this is nothing bad about the show. It's why I gave this episode such a high rating.
Sure.
I am having like some weird social issues in my own brain when I see people on buses without masks, when I see people clubbing without masks. And for those of you who don't know, Blake and I live in the state of Rhode Island, which if you look at a map of COVID in the US, you can't even see the state of Rhode Island because we're constantly covered in red. Okay. We're stuck between Boston and New York. So whenever people are like, oh yeah, life's normal, I'm like, life hasn't been normal.
There's a biohazard symbol just in the sky, like Batman's calling, but it's a biohazard symbol.
It's literally the red dot of COVID has been on our state. So no matter where you are in your beliefs of the topic,
it don't matter.
It's just weird here. Like, it's literally been the land of the Walking Dead zombies since March 22, 20. And like, we haven't had a break. And so I'm now at this point that my brain is like, Deja, you're sitting a little close to that old woman. People can go clubbing again. You know, like, it's just weird. So I like that the show did acknowledge COVID. And I like that actually, I feel like they said something in the first episode, right? But like, or maybe we said something.
No, they said something. I feel like.
But it's like, this is now a post-COVID time, and I'm really, really happy about that because I don't need to see it on TV anymore. And obviously for like replay value, when we're out of this bat signal land that we're in, we will be very happy to not see this all the time.
I think that it's a valid criticism though, Mary, even though you're happy that COVID is not necessarily part of the storyline yet, like it's not a vital part of the storyline. It is a valid criticism that the show was so heavy on COVID last season.
And yet no one got it.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because that could age really bad real quick.
I'm glad that it's not in it.
No. It's a fair criticism in that in a show for that was so heavy on COVID last season, it has essentially abandoned that entire narrative, that entire plot mechanism.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the fact that it was just a couple months in the show, as that's what I wish it was in real life.
Yeah, right.
So it's just me, and I just kind of needed to acknowledge this and get this off my plate, and also see if this happens to anybody else. If anybody else, when you watch things, because my kids have actually noticed it when they watch episodes and kids are in school.
Yeah.
And they'll say something like, those kids aren't wearing a mask. And I'm like, oh my God, when is it going to end? So I'm not trying to get political, not trying to do any of that. But I'm just saying, once again, this show made me feel things.
Yeah.
That was the weird feeling that I had in myself where it's starting to impact me because it is a modern show that I see in this real life. It's not a fictitious fantasy thing. So it just kind of jarred me for a little bit. My great was Mandy Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Hitting it out of the ballpark. This woman, like, literally acting all these different ages all the time. I believe her wholeheartedly. When she said that she doesn't know which memory is going to be her last one.
Oh!
Where's the shaman?
Oh, all the shaman.
Oh.
So much shaman that you might as well put it out of business. Man, that was...
Mandy. She's nailing it, I'm telling you.
She's got it. Yeah.
That's my great. Mandy Moore.
I would agree with you.
Okay, how about you? What's your GPG?
Well, here's what I will say. Mandy Moore and, Rebecca and Sally and their friendship that has kind of come out of nowhere and just blossomed between the two.
Loved it.
It actually reminded me of you.
Yep.
That is entirely something that would happen to you. Or that you would do.
Done it.
Just like on our honeymoon. I said, Mary, I just want to enjoy my honeymoon. We were on a cruise. We were in the Mediterranean. And I'm with my gorgeous bride. And she is just... Remember when Beth was saying, like, I am in full... Like, I am full
She looked
on.
Herself in the mirror and she went,
That was Mary. I mean, it still is Mary. But that was Mary at the time where it was just... And I was like, okay... I'm newly married. I want to enjoy this amazing, beautiful bride.
Give me all these rules. Like, we can only sit at a two-person table.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to meet be anybody's friend. I just want to be with my bride. And you know what happened? She made friends with people the second we got on that cruise.
On a train.
On
the train.
Exactly.
I was stuck sitting across from them. What am I supposed to do? And you are?
I'm just telling you. Anyway, I liked how the show could have gone a route of being, it was sappy, but it could have been extraordinarily sappy. Yet at the same time, it took those moments and it took that expectation and it subverted it a little bit by giving you this blossoming friendship between Sally and Rebecca and not giving Nikki the happy ending that we were all thinking that he was going to have. I liked that. I embraced that, and I thought it was great to contrast Nikki's relationship with Sally with Rebecca and Sally. I thought that was really good. My bad, though, is that there was this big mystery of who was in the white car in the way future and who was driving up and, oh, look who it is. And we eventually discover it's Edie. And that is not the problem. The problem is that the path to get Edie into the car was very roundabout and it was very sudden and it's
hashtag who are they.
It's very hashtag who are they. And what you will all find out is that my feeling throughout this whole episode was hashtag who are they.
That was this episode.
Yeah. And
it shouldn't be. What was it called? Leap? The one leap? What is it?
One giant leap?
Yeah. It should have been called hashtag who are they.
Yeah. It should have been hashtag.
And then goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Hello, goodbye. Hashtag who are they.
Oh, man. And then my great was using the relationship between Deja and Malik to comment or provide commentary on the relationship that Nikki has with Sally and how that relationship provides commentary about Deja and Malik.
Yeah.
Deja's reactions to Malik and Jennifer and the whole situation is very well beyond her years. She takes everything in stride. She mm-hmm. doesn't overreact. She allows Malik the time to do the papers and the studying or whatever. And then they go, you know, clubbing, and then she makes a very adult decision to you know, deflower herself. Yeah. And then Nikki, on the other hand, acts like a teenager would act. He acts impulsively. He takes he doesn't want to do what he was supposed to do in the beginning, and then he's pushed to do it like a child. Then he does it, and he wants to leave immediately. Then he notices the picture, and he's all happy, and he realizes that everything's okay. And it's taking these two roles and changing them in an unexpected way, and using them to comment on each other was my great for this episode.
Love that.
That is that. All right, Marvin, are you ready for the big three feedback?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
And we said
that's three.
Big three.
Three.
Angela, who is here live with us, I loved her comment. She said, that was not what I expected for sure.
Same.
4.9 lemonades from Angela. I was in on the music alone.
The music was so good.
I loved the way they tied the red flower dress through all three storylines. I was like, oh my God, quite a few times, closing her eyes throughout that dinner. Wow. And the end. And then the preview. Oh my goodness, wow. And then Michelle Lamara chimed in saying, that dinner scene reminded me of the dinner party from the Office episode.
No, God, please, no, no, no.
I will say
no!
That I totally agree. And the dinner party episode from the Office is probably one of the greatest episodes of television ever written. It's a close second, well, I don't know, the most cringy episode is Scott's Tots when he told them he's going to pay for all their college educations.
Yes.
And he gives them laptop batteries. That is cringe. That is the most cringe thing I've ever.
Continue with Michelle.
Sorry. She wasn't a fan of the reveal, and it brought her rating.
Oh, the coming up next week?
No, the reveal, I think, of Edie.
Oh, okay.
Bringing the rating from 4.9 to 4.5. The good, though, was Miguel and Rebecca standing with Nikki the whole episode. The bad was that I'm so happy Nikki found someone, but this felt like a hashtag who are they moment.
Preach.
Great. The awkwardness of the dinner scene turning into some heartfelt discussion. Mm. And the hot take that she has. Hold on, let me get the music going.
Show.
Oh, no, she stole my hot take.
It's okay.
Oh, great minds think alike. Well, Miguel's gonna die. That's what she thinks. Chrissy Metz was quoted by some article that by the end of the show, two character journeys will have ended. Rebecca is obviously one of them, and since we don't see Miguel in the flash forward, I think that it's him.
Oh my God, maybe it's like a notebook thing, you know, like they die, they can't be without each other. It's those little birds that travel from the Arctic to wherever.
Which he lied
compass.
About, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, good. I just throwing that out there. Plus, in this episode, he specifically mentioned being there every step of the way for Rebecca, and I feel like this is us code for plot twist.
Miguel.
Michelle, you and I are on the exact same page.
He needs to make it through another Christmas.
This one comes from Dara. She says,
I don't get to read any of these.
Oh, then you can read this one. Go ahead, from Dara.
Okay.
It's an email.
Oh, okay. Dara says, 5 lemonades for the Nikki, Sally, Eddie storyline, plus 4 lemonades for the Deja Malik storyline. I'm inclined to give even less to the latter storyline, but I like the clean average of 4.5. First, the positive. I loved the score, starting with April Comes She Will, about the changing of the seasons, and that ends with the line, a love once new has now grown old, seemingly describing Nikki's love for Sally. Beautiful. And when they are in the camera shop and the shop owner says about the pricey camera, well, some things grow in value with age. Totally on nose, but I'm here for it. And then later, who knows where the time goes, which is also about the changing of seasons and the passage of time, and features the lyric, I have no fear of time, for who knows how my love grows. Ah, I have chills. I loved how they covered the theme of aging and old and new Eddie love. Also,
Edie.
Oh, Edie. Sorry. Okay, the negative. The Deja Malik storyline was misplaced. Do we care that much about them that they get to share half the episode with Rebecca, Miguel, and Nikki? There's only one season left. Every minute is precious. Give me more of literally any other character and I wouldn't complain. And lastly, the nitpicky. That first scene in the car with Nikki, Rebecca, and Miguel looks so fake. I'm fairly certain that they were using the same technology as was used in the Alfred Hitchcock films in the late 50s. Oh my goodness gracious. Dara.
Listen.
I don't care about CGI car stuff. You picked up on that and I did not. I was too busy singing. Ooh, Gorchaka.
Oh, my God.
I can't stop this feeling. Anyone else sing along?
No.
Did anyone else?
No.
Because I did.
I'm not even going to comment.
Loudly and proudly. To which, at the same moment, I went, I love this song, Blake says. I hate this song.
It's the worst song ever created. I'd rather listen to the Cars for Kids song over and over. You know, 1-877 Cars for Kids.
Okay. I'll tell the kids to play that.
K-A-R-S, Cars
I'll have the kids ask that on their rides
the worst
to school.
Song.
And, yeah.
Oh, my God. Cars for Kids. Anyway.
Okay.
Listen. Let's just get the Deja and the Malik thing out.
What?
Out of the way right
okay.
now.
Okay. What thing
because
out of the way?
I'm going to co-sign with Dara on this one. Listen. I too agree that their story, even though I liked how they used their story to comment on Nikki and even Miguel and Rebecca, and even Jack and Rebecca, let's go there too. I too think it was a little misplaced. Mainly because I just don't care. Because I have 0.0 faith that they're going to make it. In fact, the way that I see this bearing out, it's only going to be heartbreak.
The point I think of this, because we got to see the coming up next week, is that Deja does something really big and lies to Randall. And we get to see all these flash forwards where adult Deja and Randall, like, that's who's outside. They're excited, yeah. You know, at least comforting each other. And we do know how important the Deja-Randall relationship has been since the very beginning. So to me, that is the point of this, that Deja, as an older teen / young adult, is making choices of her own that she is now keeping from Randall. And as we got to see in next week's episode, it's going to kind of come to light. So to me, that's what this was about. It was about Deja becoming a woman and making some choices that she decides not to share with everyone.
Yeah.
How it plays out, how much time this takes up in our hearts as we're starting to mourn Rebecca,
yeah.
You know, that's going to be something. But we have already given so much time to the Deja-Randall relationship. And to me, that is the point of this, in addition to mirroring young love with Nikki.
Yeah, that's fair. I will also say, at the very least, too, that, and I know we don't like to talk about the previews, you know, from the next episode in this episode, but I have to break that rule here. I have to step outside the circle for a little bit.
Okay.
Because when that happened, when we saw the preview, you and I looked at each other and there was a moment we were like, what are we doing?
I hate whoever does these coming up next. I hope they don't listen to our podcast because their feelings must be hurt.
I don't want to say somebody needs to be fired because I never wanted somebody to lose their job, but they got to be suspended.
You know what
with pay. With pay,
it makes me feel like it's low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
like,
it's cheap.
Oh my god, we have to tune into next week. Like, if you're not already in on this beautiful, amazing show, and it's the final season, and you need like cliffhanger, clickbait worthy,
yeah.
Coming up next. Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of
okay?
here.
Okay, move on.
What are we doing?
Just watch New Amsterdam, okay? What are we doing? Just skip.
I don't want to say it's for the New Amsterdam people, no. But it might be.
Maybe they tune into New Amsterdam early and they get to see this, like, oh my gosh, big things happen. They're like, what is this show that I've missed out on all these years?
Yeah, I know.
You should have tuned in an hour earlier. All right, so
it's just the most popular TV show in all of broadcast television. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's not Kay's fault. We'll say that.
So, Kay has nothing to do with that. You want to know why I know that? Because she's too good. She's too good for those previews. She's too good. And having said that, yeah. Let's, you know what? I'm just going to do it again. And I will always love you. That's right, Kay. I will always love you.
Did Deja use protection? Didn't see a condom. Don't know if she's on birth control.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair statement.
Yeah. I assume they had protection. I mean, this is Malik.
I would hope that Malik learned his lesson, you know, from the whole interaction. I mean, that interaction that he had with Jennifer, I'll tell you.
Not great, Bob.
Taking the food and everything, and she's like, yeah, okay, sure, Malik. Yeah, you're studying. Okay, whatever. Yeah, not great, Bob. And here's why I played Whitney again. Listen, I wasn't a huge fan of the writing. I just wasn't.
Of the writing of the show?
Of the episode.
Okay.
But what Kay did for the directing of this episode is phenomenal. I mean, staying so patient on those dinner scenes and allowing the characters to just or the actors to explore that awkwardness and providing the visual momentum and the feeling of going from this, like, oh, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, to like this conversation turning into a legitimate like a legitimate therapy session is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I believed the chemistry shared between Sally and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the way that it was shot in two extremes. One with big wide shots that allowed both of the characters to be in the screen together.
Mm-hmm.
But then also with extreme close-ups, allowing each character to explore those particular feelings that they're each sharing about the like there was that moment when Sally says, when did we stop? When did we stop wanting to recognize ourselves or stop taking pictures? Like, that's a beautiful moment.
It is.
And the patience for that shot is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Listen, I wasn't a huge fan of the Deja Malik story, but I will tell you the way that the Deja's decision at the club is made is a well-shot, beautifully calm and, natural decision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The way that it's portrayed.
Yes.
And then when it is that decision is consummated, we'll just say that, it's a beautiful scene. It's one of affection and warmth, and it's treated with the respect that it deserves. I mean, let's be honest. How many sex scenes are we seeing in This Is Us? Not a lot.
Not enough.
I'm kidding. And especially with younger actors like this. I mean, that was handled... I hate using this word, but it was tasteful, and it was tastefully done.
It was. Yeah. It was. I agree.
So I got to say that Kay, she's in the top tier. Top tier. If you want something done right, you give it to Kay.
Agreed.
Kay, you know, I remember I used to say that that Randall was the spackle. He spackled all over the cracks of This Is Us.
Yeah.
He's been usurped.
Yes.
There's been a palace coup, okay? Kay is now the spackle.
Love it.
Kay is This Is Us. By the way, go to the MarianBlakeStore.com and get your Kay Magic shirt, okay? That's what that is. Mm-hmm. It's just straight up Kay Magic, okay? I'm in on that. What else do you got for this episode, Robert?
All right. So are we done with the Deja Malik?
Yeah, I think we've storyline kind of covered that.
Because I got to tell you, watching it a second time, I don't know what happened. Maybe our kid came out or something. I missed the part where Randall asks Deja, okay, so you're going to Tiffany's to go study, right? You're not going to go out clubbing with boys or egging houses or anything, right? I missed that quick little bit. Mm-hmm. So to me, I thought everyone knew she was going to Boston to go see Malik. And I am slightly surprised that this wasn't like a thing that the family would have planned on and been okay with, since they're all okay with Malik.
Yeah.
You know?
Why does she feel the need to lie? And why does she,
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I'm surprised. Again, it's just like, hard for me to believe all of this. It's hard for me to get invested in all this.
Okay, yeah. Like, I would believe that Beth would have gotten Deja birth control.
Sure.
And had, like, some little feminine conversations, taking her to go see a little lay doctor, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But from last week with Deja being a little quiet and stuff about her texts leads me to believe that she's not having those conversations.
Definitely
with her mom.
Not. Nope, no
so,
chance.
You know, there's that. So I don't think there's going to be, because at first I thought, oh, maybe Beth knows, and maybe Beth, you know, helped her be prepared. But the more I thought about it, no, because I thought maybe this would become a Beth Randall thing. But I don't think it is. I think it's just really the story of Deja. So I agree. It was interesting to see the dynamic of the baby switch, you know, as many parents who do have to co-parent together and have to kind of do that trade-off and do get to sometimes have those sticky situations. So I like that This Is Us shows us sometimes the not so beautiful things in life. I mean, so many parents have to are divorced or are not together and have to switch the kids around. And, you know, one person hasn't washed the right clothes or, you know, like I'm thinking of someone we know, like they got into a big fight because one of them vaxxed one of the kids and didn't, you know, like things get really, really difficult between parents sometimes when you have to co-parent. So I liked seeing it on screen because it's something that is real that we don't normally get to see. But aside from that, I'm done with this storyline for today.
Too.
And let's get on in to Nikki.
All right. I want to do something Nikki adjacent, which is the Edie reveal.
Okay.
Okay. Does the show earn the Edie reveal? That's a major question that I think this episode kind of, I don't want to say undoes its theme, but the success of the episode, I think, is dependent on whether or not you buy in to this kind of reveal.
I don't give a whatever about
an F.
Yeah.
Yep. Your F's account is overdrafted.
About Edie. I don't. Okay. When she came out, I honestly said, who is that?
Yeah. Literally. Hashtag who are they?
Yes.
Yes.
And then, okay, they're on the plane. Cute. But second time watching.
Okay.
Okay. I think we've spent so long without This Is Us just because of Panorama and life that, you know, we as viewers have really learned to love Nikki. We love this quirky uncle, and to see how far he's come, you know, this curmudgeon-y character. You know, I often talked about him and Kevin being like Frog and Toad, you know, like they're just this beautiful dynamic duo. Oh, I was saying that about Sam and Graham, but they're kind of the same things, you know? Just this curmudgeon-y guy that we've really gotten to see come out of his shell. And with this episode, if you had forgotten how much you loved Nikki, because it's been a little while since you watched This Is Us, you watch him go through all of his blue plaid shirts, you know, saying he needs clothing options. You know, you get to see him be like, and I'm an alcoholic, and I, you know, you just... you fall back in love with this character. Not that you want to marry him yourself, but you just fall back in love with him. And to know that he's open to love, and that's something that he's wanted all this time, and he really deserves all this time that he does finally get. I don't care who came out of that car. It could have been, you know, Glinda the Good Witch. But if that was Nikki's love who got to be with him, and at the end when he says, I missed you too, you know, and you got to see the love in his eyes, that's what I'm here for.
Okay, I just have to comment that you had the choice of any single woman that has ever existed in the history of the earth in both fiction and reality, and you chose Glinda the Good Witch.
You're welcome.
Nerd! Okay,
you
just
are welcome.
Just throwing that out there. I'm gonna let it sit there, and I'm gonna let the ether cast judgment on you for that one.
Cast it enough, Blake. You cast it enough.
You know what, Mary? I think the show cashed in a little equity that it built with Nikki.
I'd say a lot.
Yes, for us to buy this kind of interaction.
We're just happy. You know what it is, though? It's that. It's when you're a family member and you say, you know, I don't really care for her, but he's happy.
Yeah.
All I care about is that my baby's happy, you know?
Yes.
You know, he became a... he decided to get a career in music, you know, and that's my parents. Oh, she could have been a doctor, but she decided to get a music degree.
She was a musician.
But she's happy.
But she's happy.
But she's happy.
It's not to say that I don't like the character Edie. I'm sure she's fine.
I love the sass.
The sass is great. Mm-hmm. And I loved the back and forth. Are you going to be trouble? Absolutely.
You know, she and Rebecca are going to have fun together.
Oh, of course. Like, there's going to be some.
They're going to make t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to get the matching bird brooch. Because she's an airline attendant. You know they love brooches.
Oh, yeah. So here's my I think why I have a hard time buying the reveal is not because of Edie, and it's not because of the immediate feeling of hashtag who are they and this sudden drop of information, but more because the show, I think, was so overtly trying to set you up with the idea that Sally is unhappy in her marriage. And Nikki shows up at the exact right time, and they're going to be together. Now, you can make the argument that it's obviously they're using this as the jumping off point for Nikki to accept his past and not live in his past. Mm-hmm. That's a fair argument. But when you propose a character that is clearly, he's a dick in terms of Sally's husband, the way that he speaks to her and the way that she describes him. I mean, the guy, he's not a sensitive man, okay?
No, he's not.
and the way that he has lost his interest in her. They sleep in separate rooms. They don't watch TV together. You know, all the little things that she said. The show is purposely doing that to you and doing that in its writing to set you up. Like, how am I supposed to feel? Am I supposed to feel good that Nikki accepted his past? Am I supposed to feel like Sally's going to come back to go get Nikki? Like, and is he going to turn her down? It's just a little narratively confusing. Did you get that feeling as well?
I found that dinner just very freeing, you know, like it was a big therapy session. I didn't take it as, wow, they're going to break up. She's unhappy. She's going to come back to Nikki. I just took it more as you're never too old to make changes.
Sure.
You're never too old to find your true self. You know, you're never too old to start salsa dancing again.
Yes.
So to me, I hope that either Sally and her husband get some counseling and see if they can get that fire back in their relationship, mm-hmm. or Sally breaks up with him and goes and opens a photography studio and lives her best life.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Doing her own thing.
I didn't sit there saying Sally and Nikki are going to get back together.
Dave here on Facebook says Nikki ending up with Sally would have been disingenuous. Do you agree?
I don't think it would have. To me, it wouldn't have been disingenuous. I think it would have been still quite lovely.
It would have been a little hard to swallow in terms of the likelihood of it and like the fairy tale-ishness of it.
I mean, I totally could picture them hooking up in a year when they break up.
Decent.
You know, like
very
that,
fair.
I'd be down here for. I'd like be totally down for a hookup. You know, let's do it again 50 years later, yes. See if we still got it. But no, now we know who he's going to end up with. And so I didn't take it that way. I didn't take it as, yes, she and her husband have marital issues. I just saw it as this, you know, a freeing dinner talk.
Yeah. Yep. Nikki here on Facebook also says, I'm glad he didn't end up with Sally and he gained something in knowing he actually meant something to someone.
Yes.
If only the pic of him from behind on her for the wall that she had on the wall. That to me, I think, is the biggest takeaway from the entire endeavor. Mm-hmm. That Nikki, after devaluing himself mm-hmm. for so long and pining, let's say it, over this woman on top of that for so long. Yeah, I think finding value, finding comfort in knowing that despite all of his flaws, despite the fact that, you know, he made a choice to do what he did, he still mattered and mm-hmm. in some way, however small it might have been, you know. And there's also something tragically beautiful about the fact that he has held on to these memories so tightly for so mm-hmm. many years, and it took Sally, you know, she needed a jump start little bit.
Where did we meet again? Oh yeah. Yes, that. Okay. And he's like, I remember everything about you.
Yeah.
I, you know, what I also took from it too was, you know, seeing her be open about her marriage and mm-hmm. the things that she's unhappy with, you know, I think it highlighted for Rebecca and Miguel how special their relationship is. You know, she says, I struck gold twice. You know, they get to see not every couple's happy. And it also, I think, showed Nikki that you need to be your true self and be, you know, open, but also just be your true self. So there he is on the plane, given sass, which honestly probably would have gotten in trouble with any other flight attendant. Mm-hmm. But he's just being his true self. And I'm hoping that that's what he gets in this future love. Not to hold anything in, not to be quiet and become a line cook for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but life is too short and to be open and honest about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, where the episode really succeeds, and you led me down a path here, so I gotta step into that doorway. I gotta do it. The episode sings with Miggy and Rebecca.
Oh my gosh.
Especially.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
Miguel. Miggy.
MVP of this episode.
Super MVP.
MVP.
I mean, we're talking a unanimous decision MVP of this episode. the way he holds down that fort and the way he interacts with Rebecca and saying that he's going to be there for her sickness through everything and I'm going to be amazing and that she it doesn't
until
matter
I'm dead.
If she's a used yeah if she's a used classic with a lot of miles, it doesn't matter.
That, to which I also want to be like, he also saw you in your hot years too.
That's true. Like, yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah.
He didn't see you naked in your hot years.
Correct.
And you're still hot, Mandy Moore.
And Jen actually here on Facebook just stole this out of my mouth. The fact that he made up the bird story for Rebecca. Jen here says love. Just capital L-O-V-E. I couldn't agree anymore.
That's so much nicer than my popcorn ball made up story for you. Yep.
You know what? I don't even want to tell that story. Nope. We will tell that story one day.
You will.
Not now, though. Not now. The popcorn. Nerd Clan, just ask me to tell the popcorn ball story sometime in the near future, and I will tell you that. Listen.
Do you know what he said? He said, like, you know, they fly from the Arctic to somewhere else to mate. I didn't hear him say mate the second time I watched it with the closed captions, which always helps me the second time. I thought he said to Maine. And I'm like, what bird flies from the Arctic to Maine? What has Maine got to do with these tropical parrots? I'm like, I gotta Google this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my God, Miguel loves inflatables. He's always down for dinner.
He knows
a lot about birds. Even birds that fly to Maine. He doesn't even live in Maine. He said mate.
Oh my God. You know what his favorite movie is? Guaranteed. Rio. Loves the movie Rio.
He's down.
Just all the blue toucans. All the macaws. I said toucan. A blue toucan. Whatever, yeah. Sure. Toucan,
obviously, macaw. Miggy would give you a pass, but he knows. He knows about a blue
parrots.
Macaw.
I don't know. It's all the same. Yeah. Birds. They got wings. They're the same.
You know, I didn't see him buy it. Can I tell you, I watched it a second time. I was like, let's see if Miggy buys it.
Do you think...
Miggy bought...
Did he get the five-finger discount?
He might have. And he paid for Nikki's camera. Nikki's just pouting and Rebecca's like, fine, it's $70. Throw in some film. And there's Miggy shelling out the money, buying Sally's camera.
Like, yeah, $70.
I'm gonna take this parrot brooch.
Yoink. I'm gonna make up some story. Look like a hero. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's $70.
Should have taken the fondue.
Oh man.
Okay.
So,
but beautiful.
Here's the show. I think is absolutely setting us up for a serious heartbreak for the very fact. That Miggy says,
"This is us."
I know, but for the very fact that Miggy says, "I'm going to be there every step with you," like that when you heard that, the red alert sound from Star Trek should be going off in your brain.
Blake, and now I'm
going
to have nightmares.
Red lights should be flashing.
Stop it!
Birds should be just flocking.
Put him in a bubble.
Yeah,
KN95 him. I'll send him one of my pink ones. Because that's all I could get was neon pink.
KN95.
Send him to Maine with the parrots.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You think he's going to like quickly die too? Is it going to be like a stroke? Is he going to get hit by a car?
I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those unexpected things.
Stop. I can't.
Miggy.
Stop.
Miggy is absolutely.
I can't.
Come on, man.
Don't.
Miggy's going to croak.
Listen.
Miggy's croaking.
No, he's just in Rio.
And I'm going to tell you, they're going to give us the Miggy-Rebecca love story, how it all went down. Croaks at the end of the episode.
Oh, my God. I bet he made her dinner.
Oh.
Fondue.
So much fondue. Did he do the chocolate fondue?
He did
That's
both,
the
Blake.
Thing.
He did both.
Oh. He had
an appetizer course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the dinner
mm-hmm.
and the chocolate fondue.
I wonder if he did like ceviche for an appetizer. So it's kind of like fondue.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. You put the stuff in the You
don't even eat ceviche.
Squid. It's squid in the martini glass with the stuff.
That's not fondue at all. Fondue, no.
But it's kind of like fondue.
Not at all.
It is, because it's in the stuff.
I'm glad you're not making me dinner for Valentine's Day.
Ceviche sucks anyway.
Oh my God, let's move on. Okay, can we just
stop? So, no, I'm telling you, for the very fact.
Oh no, Dave. Dave says somehow Miguel's death will be hair related. Maybe all of his hair care products gave him cancer.
Your accent today?
It's the butter be a tea.
Oh, it's the butter be a tea. Bringing it to you. It's on point today. This
Listen,
is great.
It's Malik, okay? I felt the Boston. Hey, can I just also shout out for a realistic apartment for a 19-year-old person to be in? Oh, I was pleased with that shabby looking place.
I would agree.
With a saggy. I hate when TV shows show college kids living in some glam mansion.
I know, like Felicity, you know?
Yeah.
Or,
that's not real.
What else is the show that we've been watching recently where like they just have
Oak Island. Like nobody lives in anything.
That's a good
old
point.
Men digging in holes.
So
that's what she said.
I think we're being set up here in a big way, and it's gonna be
sad if it's gonna be that way.
I will cry. When that happens, I definitely will. I may gain a small taste of love for inflatables because Miggy croaks this season.
Oh my God. Will that be what they have in lieu of flowers?
please send your inflatables.
Oh,
nothing smaller than 6 feet, please.
Rebecca salsa dancing without her neck scarf on. Yeah. So I didn't know why she was touching her neck in the car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, is she remembering singing, you know, she was touching her neck scarf because she's embarrassed by all of her neck wrinkles.
Yeah.
Oh, when she and Sally were talking about the neck wrinkles and the colored hair and not being brave enough to not dye their hair. I was like, join the Grand Prix movement.
I know, man.
I'm embracing my silver tinsel.
Let's see. Courtney here says, maybe this is too far ahead, but I'm still trying to figure out Deja's comment about the long drive. I know you caught that comment when she was speaking to Randall.
In the future.
This is obviously... They're setting up some breadcrumbs here for us to think about this. And Courtney, like I think most of us kind of fell victim to these breadcrumbs. What do you think that's about?
Well, they're in Pennsylvania because they're in this house, right?
Yeah.
So what do you mean?
I don't know. Just the way that she talks about this long drive and like the look and the tone that she has concerning the long drive. I mean, it's... It feels ominous a little bit.
Ew. I was not on that planet. I'm sorry. I don't have any deep things to talk about Deja's comment driving.
Oh, my God.
Is she driving from Boston? Because let me tell you, that is a long drive.
I just had an awful feeling.
Did more people die?
Kind of. Rebecca forgets about Miguel. And all she remembers is Jack.
Hashtag, who are you? I'm part of the...
Hashtag, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you, Miggy?
Sorry.
How awful would that be? Miggy's with her.
I had to cut out your memories to make sure I could hold on to the ones of Jack.
Oh, man.
No, that'll break my heart even more. I can't. No. Ugh. Just can't.
Oh, I'm thinking about that.
Stop.
That's tragic if that were the case. And yeah, I'm a sucker for young Jack and young Rebecca in the car. I'm a sucker for all that, despite the musical choice, which is awful. But I
thought she was sad.
I will.
Deja, are we talking about Deja still?
No. I've moved on from.
Oh, sorry.
I will confirm that music does bring up feelings like that, and it does bring up memories like that. Every time I hear Van Morrison, I think of when I was, you know, in my very early 20s going to the Cape with all my idiot high school friends. So I will confirm that is a real thing, obviously, and I know all of you know that as well. But I just loved that how there is a moment of levity and warmth and happiness about this song, yet at the same time, we kind of have this tragic feeling that Rebecca is feeling concerning Jack and what that song really truly means to her in the middle of this kind of happy moment. I thought that was a great contrast. Well done. Well done. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode?
I just need to point out that one of the many Miggy comments that on a second watch you get to pick out is as he's getting to the car and packing things as Nikki comes out with his suitcase with his 50 million plaid shirts. Miggy tells Rebecca, "I remembered your toothpicks." Like your toothpick flossers.
Yeah.
Like what? Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
let's see what else I wanted to make sure. Oh, also. I think my favorite part of this entire episode is as Nikki has rang the doorbell at Sally's,
yeah,
and Rebecca and Miguel are right behind him. And Rebecca and Miguel nonstop mumbling. And they reminded me of my stepmom and my dad.
Oh,
just
God.
Going back and forth. Oops, somebody's coming. Oh, someone's coming.
This.
And that's what Mickey said. He goes, "Here we go."
Yeah.
Oh, someone's here. Okay. Oh, you're going to do it. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Like, no joke. Just rewatch that part. It was my favorite part of the entire episode.
Oh, man.
That and Nikki saying that he would gladly watch Scorsese's documentary of Sally dancing topless when she's right there.
Oh, man. Oh, excellent. All right. Anything else? Are you done?
Are we
all
done.
All right. You ready for In or Out?
Always.
Let's do it.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right. Hold on here. I forgot something. My screen here is a little messed up. I screwed it up. I messed it up, ladies
okay.
and gents. Here we go. This is where I want to be. In or out, Marvin? In or out on convertible cars?
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too. I like convertible cars. I like the more recent convertible cars. I had a Jeep Wrangler and
smelled like sour milk.
Smelled like sour milk.
So gross.
Because Mary, I had that car for 10 years. It was a great car, but Mary caught the tail end of the old Wrangler. I used to call it the heap. And
had no heat.
Had no heat. And the soft top was flapping in the winds. The floor in the back didn't have a floor anymore, essentially, because it all rotted away, which is why it smelled like sour milk. I miss that car, though.
I don't.
In or out, Mary, on Hooked on a Feeling.
I'm high in that feeling, man. I love that song.
Anytime I hear that intro, ooga jaga, ooga, I just want to puke.
I don't.
I want to puke over everybody that's around me.
I want to sing along.
That is the worst song. It's almost as bad as the song that they played last season, Pave Paradise, Put in the Parking Lot. Like, that song sucks just as hard.
Okay. Well, you and I have different music choices.
In or out on Visiting People Unannounced?
Out.
I'm way out.
Yeah.
Far. Like, super out that I don't even know. I'm not even in the same universe.
When people do that to me, I hide.
Yeah, I know. You get make me answer the door. Yeah, sorry. Mary's
not here.
She's out of town. She's somewhere. Yeah, but her car's there. Yeah, I took the train. I dropped her off. I don't even want to visit people to begin with right now. Never mind visiting
right
unannounced.
Now, we're in the Batman signal area. We can't even... You have to just leave it at the door.
Step away from the house.
Oh, man.
In or out on brooches?
Okay. So it's what my daughter gave me for Christmas was a brooch. And she's so proud of that little Christmas tree brooch.
Yes.
But I do not like brooches.
Yeah, super out on, wicked hot out on brooches.
What's the deal, man?
They don't serve a purpose.
Well, they add like a little bling. Maybe you don't want to have a full necklace. Okay, they add a little zhuzh to something. You can also take a pretty basic top or basic scarf, and now it's seasonally appropriate. Or it can have a hint of color that wasn't there before. But you want to know my main beef with brooches?
Absolutely.
The holes they make in my shirts.
Sure.
I might be down with brooches. I might actually say, you know what? I'm bringing brooches back, except they make holes in the stuff. And I can't live with that.
Guess who's back?
Broach is back. Back again.
Yeah, no, I'm out on brooches.
I know.
They're an unnecessary additive.
She has a basic shirt on and she wants to zhuzh. I think it's okay, Blake.
No, you use the necklace or a nice pair of earrings to zhuzh. Maybe I'll go as far as saying a good bracelet. You don't use the brooch. The brooch takes away from the rest. It doesn't add. It's a bad additive. All it does is just add more unnecessary stuff that can either get lost or ruin your shirts.
Okay, continue. I won't get you any.
In or out on salsa dancing?
In.
Yes.
I'd be so bad. We'd both be so bad. It's wicked bad. And we would just laugh.
I would laugh. I would have a good time.
Yes.
I'd get me a few beers or some cervezas.
And not ceviche.
Not ceviche. Because ceviche sucks. Because, come on, man. Squid?
What?
I can't eat
squid. I like squid.
The little suckers? No, I'm out. The little, no.
Just continue.
In or out on...
I'm like, I'm from the ocean state.
In or out on airline attendants?
In.
I'm in too. You want to know why?
They work really hard.
Severely underappreciated.
Agreed.
Those people have got a hard job. Not only are they stuck in a cylinder tube all day, flying 40,000 feet in the air with regurgitated farts in the air. They're dealing with people that don't want to be there to begin with. They're dealing with people that are crammed in these little teeny tiny places with
pretzels.
Pretzels.
You can't eat them right now.
And the little quarter cups of soda.
You can't have them now.
They can't have anything now. And even if you could have it, the airline's charging you $40 for pretzels. It's ridiculous. So I feel bad for airline attendants because they got a hard job. And I always pay attention when they do the whole exit spiel and they got the whole thing.
You do always pay attention. I never paid attention to that until I met Blake.
Yep.
And Blake will actually take the pamphlet out.
Always.
He will physically stand up in his seat to make sure he finds the closest exit because they tell you it may be behind you.
Yeah.
And Blake wants to know.
I got
to
know. What if the plane's going down? What if it's going to be lost?
You know, and in my opinion, if the plane's going down, I'm dead, man.
We have to go back, Kate. Like,
I don't know. We could survive.
Listen, people are going to be scrambling. To me, if the plane is going down, sayonara, baby. It's been a great life. So I don't really care.
Mary's like, you're on your own, Blake.
No, I know that you're going to know where you're going. But to me, I'm like, if it's a water landing and I have enough time to get out, I will just at that point find the closest exit.
Pushing me out of the way.
No.
All right. In or out on bartering prices?
In.
Yeah, I'm in. You want to know why?
Why?
I want the best deal. Yeah, I know you're mocking it up.
No, you are not a barterer.
I'm a barterer.
No, you are an impatient, I just want it, so I just got it. You do not wait for the sales.
No, I don't wait for sales.
You are not a barterer.
No. But if we go to St. Thomas, I got a great deal on all your jewelry in St. Thomas. And I bought it. I got a little hammer.
Okay, you probably didn't barter that well.
I did. All right.
You think you did.
I know I did. I raked them over the coals.
Okay, let's go.
All right, in or out on clubs?
Not right now.
I'm out altogether.
But back in my heyday, I loved the clubs.
Hate clubs.
And I only went to the gay clubs.
Yeah. Because
I didn't like the regular clubs.
Yep.
Because people would touch me.
Yes.
But if I went to the gay clubs and it was Whitney night,
oh,
and the foam came down.
Oh, you know what that means?
Oh. That was a little slice of heaven. The bubble foam coming down. Dancing to Whitney, nobody touching my bum. Or if they did, it was in a way that I was okay with.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I enjoyed that. I did. And I had seen someone say, like, how do underage people go to clubs?
I don't know.
I went to clubs.
I didn't.
I don't think you could. I think there are at least there's clubs here.
No, in Providence, you could go to clubs when you were 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could figure
that out. And so Boston, too. And there's clubs that you can go to that you can't drink in unless you have like a special stamp on. So they still take your money and they still let you come dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, trust me.
But you have to have like a wristband on. So there are clubs you can go to.
I will say this.
Here.
I was never into clubbing. I hated clubbing even when I was young. Hated it. Couldn't stand it. You can't talk to anybody. It was just a sweaty, a miserable mess. But when I went to the gay club with you.
Oh, I did the holiday drag show or just the dancing club?
Both.
Okay.
I had an amazing time.
I know.
Loved every second of it. I saw things that just baffled me.
I know.
And it was glorious.
I know.
Every second.
I know.
All right. In or out on the word deflowering?
In.
I'm kind of in too. You know what? Yeah. A unique usage of that word.
It's kind of like classy, kind of beautiful.
Like kind of like your courses.
Yep.
You're having your courses right now.
Yes.
You know what? It's in the same. I would say that they're cousins.
Yes.
Deflowering and courses.
I wouldn't say they're cousins actually at all, but okay. Cool.
In or out on Polaroid.
You're like things that have to do with the vagina.
In or out on Polaroid pictures?
I'm in.
I'm in too.
Okay.
I love the vintage feel of it. I love flapping the picture.
Of course you would.
The pictures, the flapping the pictures.
You'd
the
have
best
to be
part.
Audibly. You'd probably be like smacking it against your hand.
Of course.
This will make it go faster.
It does make it go faster.
No, it doesn't.
Of course it does. The warmth from the hand and the friction. Of course it does. In or out on Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Out.
Yeah. You know what? It's an okay film. I could do without it.
Agreed.
Like if Breakfast at Tiffany's was erased from the planet,
I'm gonna miss it.
I'm not gonna miss it. Okay. I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna enjoy it if I see it.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna miss it.
It's not one of my my
not one of my, not one classics, of my go-to. It's you know what? It's no Top Gun.
Oh, you and your love of Tom Cruise.
Oh,
I can't
all right.
Stand it.
All right. So we've given our hot takes. So that is that. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you so very much for hanging on out with us tonight and hanging out with us every week as we go through This Is Us. Blake and I, as I said, are very busy this season. If you're listening in live time, we're currently also podcasting about The Last Kingdom on Netflix and Harry Potter. So you could check out those podcasts. And of course, later in the winter, later this winter, Outlander returns. And
Bridgerton.
Then in the spring, Bridgerton
Speaking
returns.
Speaking of courses.
Yes. Oh, yes. So we're just going to be really busy and we would love to be able to stay in touch with you. Don't forget that we love your feedback. So make sure you're following us on social media so we can see your thoughts about each episode. And of course, we want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. Honestly, every single one of you makes a huge impact in Blake and my life.
Dave,
so thank you.
Dave here on Facebook says, in or out on dork chills. In, baby, in.
You're so loud. Yes. Okay, on that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Dork Chills.
Oh, This Is Us, too. And I'm really sad you didn't play Ooga Chaka on the way out.
Because I hate that song. It sucks. You can't convince me otherwise. It's inarguable. Sucks.